Hey guys, welcome to the E-commerce Paradise podcast. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about the differences between starting a brick and mortar store and starting an online store. There's a lot to be said about this because when you first get started out becoming an entrepreneur, I think a lot of us have the inclination to start some sort of a brick and mortar store, whether it be like a cafe or a coffee shop or a restaurant or maybe like a car dealership or real estate agent office. Brokerage, or maybe just like a shop selling cakes or muffins or something like that, or some kind of a retail store like a skate shop or a bicycle shop like I tried. Now the thing about a brick and mortar store that a lot of people don't realize in the very beginning is how much time it takes to run these things and how much cost it takes, how much startup capital you need in order to start one. The thing about an online store that's so cool is that you don't need a whole lot of startup capital, and the time investment it takes to run it is much, 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 much less. So it's really cool that you can do so much with an online store that with a brick and mortar store, you need to practically just climb a mountain in order to get there. I remember when we were first looking into that, I was in an industry, well, the bicycle industry, where I was thinking about, actually starting a shop because I went to the main event for the industry, which is called Interbike, which is in Las Vegas. And Interbike is really cool, but a lot of these suppliers in the bicycle industry don't really, really like online-only dealers. They like shops because they offer service on the products, and you can't just sell a bike and not offer service, right? Well, that's how the industry looks at it. So, a lot of the brands don't want to work with you. You only get really accounts with like smaller brands usually. The bigger brands like Giant, Cannondale, and Trek and all those ones, they're not going to sell through an online dealer. They're going to sell through brick and mortar storefronts, and they're going to require big upfront capital investments and all that. So my idea was if I started a brick and mortar store, I could establish my online store as much bigger than just an online store, just those online store brands. The thing about having an online store, of course, is that you have to deal with competitors, and competitors will, cut prices and they'll offer more gifts, or they'll offer, more services, or, they'll just do better marketing. And you can find it pretty tough to compete online sometimes, especially if the market gets flooded in any particular niche. It happened to us. We were selling e-bikes online back in 2016, 2017. And, I went on a podcast in 2016 and, started talking about the niche and our experiences and stuff like that. And about a month later, all these niche stores started popping up. And I, realized that that was a bad thing to do. But at the time, I didn't, have anything else going on. So that was like the only thing I had. So I really had to just like buckle down and start doing better marketing. Now, it turns out it was actually a blessing in disguise, because what I did was I learned a lot about marketing in the process and how to make my marketing better. And throughout the next year, instead of losing out, we came back with a vengeance and we started crushing it. I've actually since been able to talk to some of my competitors and see what their sales numbers were, and our sales were numbers like 10x what theirs were that year. So it was amazing. What you can do with just simple marketing strategies and just by providing really good content, really good service. So with that said, if you wanted to start a store selling retail, what you would sell online, especially with high ticket, you have to consider also the inventory costs. Inventory is huge. High ticket products range, $500 to $5,000. Now, if you're going to actually sell those, consider not just the cost of the product itself. So say you want to stock a product that's $1,000, you have to buy it at wholesale cost, whatever that is. Like, if it's a $1,000 product, it might be, $600 to $800 wholesale cost. But you have to buy it, and then you have to unbox it, and you have to set it up and assemble it and actually get it into good working condition. So it depends on what it is. Maybe it's furniture or something like that, but you want to start a furniture store, you're going to have to, take that sofa out of the big box or crate that it came in and then put it on, put it on the floor, and you're going to have to make it look pretty. And, furniture stores have, huge displays of different styles of furniture and stuff like that. And usually they display them in a room format where you can kind of see what it would look like, And it's really incredible, like the kind of work you have to go through in order to set up the actual merchandise that you purchase. You kind of take it for granted when you're selling online, but a lot of the products that you sell online have pretty complicated assembly processes. You have to unbox them, and like the bicycles we were selling and the e-bikes, it takes upwards of an hour to put those things together. And so consider that, like setting up a brick and mortar store, you would have to not only buy that product, but you have to spend an hour with each product just to set it up in the store. And that's not to say that, you're going to only take 20 minutes or 30 minutes once you learn how to do it, like it'll still take you a good hour every single time. and that goes into kind of my next point, and that is that with a brick and mortar store, you really need to hire employees. Online store, you can run by yourself. You truly can. It's not that hard. You can make a good full-time income running your store by yourself. You'll have to be taking phone calls and, you know, processing orders and talking to suppliers back and forth. And eventually you'll definitely want to outsource to some VAs, at least some parts of your business, but you can run it by yourself, especially in the beginning. And yeah, so with a brick and mortar store, if you try to run your store by yourself, you're going to just go crazy. You'll end up working 80-hour work weeks or longer. And that's pain. You know, it really is a pain. I got in there thinking I could do it and, you know, it can't be that difficult. But when we started realizing how much extra time it took, not just for the startup process, but then when we actually launched and we're getting customers to our store just by doing local, you know, search engine marketing through Yelp and stuff like that, through Google, and just putting signs out front and stuff. When customers started coming in, we were still doing startup stuff. We were still putting merchandise on the walls, you know, and still trying to work. But we needed to make sales, so we started, you know, doing more launching and stuff like that. And, you know, people would come in, and we just had to sit there for, you know, god-awful amounts of time talking to some of these people. Some of them were just like looky-loos, and other, you know, were, you know, testing out the products like crazy, and then they decided not to buy. Or some of them would test out like crazy, and just and then they would buy, hopefully. But, you know, we made some sales, but it was a big pain going through that whole process, and I really felt like I had gotten myself back into a day job again. You know, the goal was to get brands on board that I would be able to drop ship on the online store. What ended up happening is we figured out, especially in that niche, that the big brands that we wanted, they require big upfront investments in capital. And we had already spent a lot of money that we had made through profits that summer. We were doing insanely good in that niche that summer. Like, we didn't spend hardly any money on AdWords. In fact, I don't think I spent any money on AdWords. It was just some really simple Facebook ads is all I was doing. But I was doing all social media marketing and search engine marketing, and we were just crushing it with sales. And raking in, you know, $10,000 a month for a few months in a row that early spring, and then the same thing through the summer. And so we took that. We wanted to invest it in the store, but we found out that it would take close to $30,000 to $50,000 in upfront investment. And I had no idea it was going to cost this much. That really wasn't the initial plan. I was trying to go somewhere between doing our own brand of bikes versus getting a bunch of, you know, bigger brands on the board. And I just wasn't sure which way to go. But then when I decided to go ahead and go the direction of like getting the bigger brands on, what I started running into was they wanted me to invest, you know, $10,000 in a bunch of their bikes, and I just thought that was the most ridiculous thing ever. So instead of doing that, I just bought a couple of them. But they said that, well, because you haven't invested the full amount, you can't sell them online. I thought, wow, this is great. My entire plan is just literally like kaput. I am not getting any of these brands that I wanted on board, and selling the same brands in the shop that are online for less makes absolutely no sense. The only really good sales I made was on one line of discount e-bikes and on one line of discount fixed gear bikes. And yeah, we sold a lot of them, and that was great. And I was able to do some customizations. But the thing about that is that people started bringing their bikes in for service, like flat tires and stuff like that. And I thought, yeah, let me do that. You know, it's service. It's a much higher margin. And I would charge them, you know, $20 or something, $30. But it's like low ticket services, and it just was a waste of my time. Honestly, big waste of my time. And it was just painful, and I just had to like do all this extra work, and it was just driving myself into the ground. I was spending all my time changing tires and selling fixies as opposed to updating the website and adding new products and getting new suppliers. So our sales started waning, and by late summer, early fall, we started seeing it, because that niche kind of goes downward in the fall time, and we started seeing a decline in sales, big decline. So I was actually trying to change the website around, and I tried to switch over to Shopify, and I didn't do any URL redirects. So none of the organic links were going to a good page on our website when I switched, and we lost all of our organic rankings. And then I switched back right away and got all the organic rankings back magically. So that was really cool. But you know, right around the end of the year, we just started running into a lot of trouble. My friends started coming over. We started just like drinking in the shop because there wasn't anybody coming in buying anything. So we're just, you know, partying and barbecuing and stuff like that. And I had some plans. I wanted to do some skateboard sales in the shop too. And that just wasn't going to work out. I didn't have any more capital to invest after that. And so I decided to go ahead and, you know, sell all the stuff that I could, to kind of fire sale it and return a lot of the stuff to the distributor that I had bought. And we packaged it all up on a big pallet and shipped it back. got most of our money back, and I took a lot of the bikes and sold them on Craigslist. I put them into a storage unit, and I went ahead and marketed the shop online. And I actually ran into an old friend, and he wanted to shop that was in the similar place, similar style at a low price. And, you know, so it worked out for him, and he took over the lease, which was really lucky. And we got out, but it was just a mess, and it was a nightmare. And we decided, you know what, I'm never doing that again. Not everybody's like us where they had started an online store first and then they started to do a brick and mortar. A lot of people, they go from brick and mortar to going to an online store. So if you've already got your processes down in the brick and mortar world and you want to expand with an online presence, I think that's the best idea ever, right? You know, maybe in the future you can even just, you know, remove the physical presence altogether and just go online and do pop-up shops or something like that. Or if you want to have a physical presence, do it at trade shows or do it somewhere where it costs a lot less and takes a lot less time to do. But the online presence is so great because you can travel the world. You can operate your online business from anywhere in the world. There is an internet connection, and pretty much everywhere in the world in any major city, there is an internet connection now. So, you do have to consider time zone differences and stuff like that, but, you know, that's what we do. We're digital nomads. We travel around, we operate our business from different countries, and we get to live in really cool tropical places like Bali and Thailand and, you know, relax and kick back and, you know, focus on work sometimes and focus on hanging out others and go to the tropical islands on the weekends and go scuba diving and stuff like that and come back and, you know, skate in the city. And it's a good lifestyle, you know, and things cost a lot less out here. So we don't necessarily have to make so much more money, which means that we have less problems and less headaches to deal with and stuff like that. So it's a good lifestyle, you know, and some people, like, they have more burdens. You have a big family, you need to support, you know, you have a lifestyle that you want to support, you have debt, whatever. And honestly, that's just a choice. That's a decision you have to make. You know, it's like, how much of a lifestyle do you need to support? You know, how low can you cut your expenses so that you can live a lifestyle you really want to live? You know, like, when it comes down to having to pay all these bills and stuff like that, you know, maybe take a look at those bills and see if you can get rid of them or lower them. And the lower you can make your expenses, the better. You know, if you can get your expenses down to, you know, $1,000 a month or something like that, then sure, you don't need to make as much money now to live location independent and be financially free, right? You only need to make $1,000 a month and a little extra, you know, so you can have some extra spending money. But think about when you get a store started, you start making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month and you only need $1,000 to live. Now you've got a lot of expendable income, disposable income that you can go hang out with and travel with or save, you know, and invest into other things. So that's the potential with an online store, guys. You can live the lifestyle you want to live and you don't have to deal with all the headaches of a physical presence, you know, and we've been through it all, and it's just a nightmare, it's a headache. So, you know, choice is yours, but what I teach is I teach online business. I teach high ticket drop shipping. I teach the same methods as a physical retail store, but online only. And it's cool. You work with suppliers, they ship directly to your customers. You deal with all the customer service and the sales, and you keep the profits. Not only do you keep them, but you get them up front. You get paid out before you have to buy the product, right? So, you'll need a high limit credit card to do high ticket drop shipping sales. It's just, you know, part of the system, and you need a physical actual business and LLC in the States. Or, you know, if you're located in the States, you can do a sole proprietor, but I always tell people do an LLC. It's safer that way. And, you'll need a seller's permit in your state and, you know, EIN number and all that stuff. And you'll need to set that up. And once you get going, it's a pretty simple process. You use Shopify to start the site and, you know, use a free theme and set up a quick demo site with some demo products and, you know, call suppliers, get some accounts with suppliers, and then you can put their products on and put their policies on your site and stuff like that. And then optimize the site and then set up your marketing funnels and set up paid traffic and start making some sales. So it's a pretty easy process. It does take some time, but at the same time, you know, if you have a step-by-step course to follow, then you can definitely do it. So if you're thinking about it, definitely go check out the E-Commerce Paradise Academy. Just go to ecommerceparadise.com and you can sign up for the free Dropship Secrets mini course there, and you can get my niches list, which is really cool and helpful for understanding which niches are profitable. And then from there, you can sign up for the Academy. It's at some special pre-launch pricing right now. It's $47 a month for the course. And for $97 a month, you get 1 hour of coaching with me per month. So you get direct access to ask me all the sorts of questions that you have for your niche and for starting up your store and stuff like that. So you can have a worry-free experience. So I hope this podcast was enlightening and helpful to understand why you want to do an online store versus a high ticket or versus a brick and mortar store, and why high ticket dropshipping is so great as a digital nomad business model. So definitely look forward to seeing you guys in the Academy. Hopefully some of you will join me in there. And my goal this year is to help 100 people break free of the 9-to-5. So if you happen to be working the 9-to-5 and you want out, then be a part of my mission and join the Academy today. And I will break you free of that 9-to-5. Okay, we'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care.